before this round even starts, here comes the sabotage. And this one is bizarre. This huge covered wagon looking thing rolls into set.
Yep. Jumping up and down, moving one way back and forth. And I'm thinking, no way. I've been in a lot of runaway wagons in my life. And no way do I want to sit up there or stand up there and try to cook while all this bouncing's going on. Howdy. My name is Kent Rawlings. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Kent, yes, if you don't mind, you're going to take us back to the cooking competition world.
Yeah.
We have done a few of these. So to catch people up, you have already beat Bobby Flay with a chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
You have been on Chopped actually three different episodes.
Yes, ma'am.
And now you're about to cook probably in the most bizarre situation, I think, ever. Is that correct?
It was one of the top. Yes, it was.
And you've cooked in some crazy stuff.
I have
like
that.
The chuck wagon out in the range, critters in camp, all the good stuff. So that's saying something. If this is like one of your most bizarre cooking experiences.
I mean, it was very unknown factors, you know.
So what we're talking about, folks, is Kent's time cooking on Cutthroat Kitchen. If you all are not familiar with that, that was a show on the Food Network. And this particular episode is called The Good, the Hash, and the Ugly.
Yes.
And if you guys want to look back, I actually found it on Amazon Prime or Disney Plus. And this was season 14, episode 5. Cutthroat Kitchen is not on air anymore, is that correct? But the host is Alton Brown. So, Kent, if people haven't seen this, give us just the rundown of what this show is about.
Four contestants, three 30-minute rounds, and you think, well, that's not bad, you know? But the thing that is the kick in the butt is the sabotage. Every round, there could be one, there could be two, there could be three. You never know what they're going to come up with.
So in Chopped, the basket was really
the
sabotage. But in Cutthroat Kitchen, it is wild.
It is crazy weird.
Throughout each episode, there are multiple sabotages that are thrown at you all. So it's not, it's about cooking and making good food, but it's also about like how you can do all that while craziness is happening around you, right? Lead us in. How did this start? Do you remember like who called you or?
I was a casting director for them. The producer, Elizabeth Stokes, she had reached out to, and they said, hey, you know, we might have this deal. We're going to do an episode of Cutthroat Kitchen, but it's about cowboys, you know? And I'd never seen Cutthroat Kitchen, didn't even know what it was about. And she said, I think we would like to have you on there. And I'm thinking, they want me to judge. You know, that was my first thing. And I'm thinking, yeah, buddy. They said, no, as a contestant.
Oh, no. Wah, wah.
Yeah. So I watched it, you know, and I'm thinking, this is the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Mother Nature don't even throw this stuff at you, you know? But it wasn't so much. I mean, sure, you needed to cook a good meal.
Yeah.
Three different rounds. But the thing about it is, every round, you start out with $25,000.
Okay, yes.
And it's, you bid on, okay, so you're going to cook with one arm tied behind your back or a blindfold over one eye or something, you know, how much you want to give for it to give this to somebody else, you know? And then the other thing that really bothered me was you had 60 seconds to grocery shop and the pantry has got sliding glass doors.
Mm-hmm.
And at 60 seconds, they close. Either got your groceries or you don't got them all or you're locked in there.
So this is very different. Like you can't, from other competitions, you could use as much of the kitchen as needed. This one, you got to grab the stuff and then that's it.
You had a little shopping basket and you better get what's in there because you ain't getting back in there.
And this is the cowboy episode.
Yes.
Which is, of course, why you're cast. But let's talk about the other contestants.
Yes.
Because we're going to use the term cowboys, cowgirls very loosely.
Yes, ma'am.
In this. So we have Sierra, and she's a cowgirl. She claims just because she has whiskey and bacon in the morning for breakfast. Wait, was she from like, do you remember? Montana, Wyoming?
Montana, Wyoming, somewhere up there.
Robbie, he claimed he was the Mexican cowboy and also an army vet.
Yep.
Jason, he was a personal chef from Dallas. And I thought it was interesting. Then they've got you, and they had your tagline as caterer.
Yeah.
Which I think was interesting. So you've got a cowboy episode. Wouldn't you, your title, like Chuck Wagon Cook?
But well, that's what I thought, but it didn't get there.
Probably nobody even knew what that was. So when we were saying like cowboys were cast, it wasn't really cowboys were cast. I think you were the only cowboy, authentically.
I remember we got a lunch break, and I was standing out there in the line, and there was some sound people behind me, you know, and one of them, I just heard him behind me, and he said, you see that guy's boots? He said,
he covered in cow poop.
I think he's might be real, you know. And I said, they made a lot of steps and a lot of things.
There were some interesting hats worn.
Yes.
So really the cowboy thing was just the theme of the episode.
Yes.
But fun. And so you start off, you're going to make, everybody has to make a breakfast hash.
Yep.
True cowboy style. You had mentioned the stress of shopping.
Yeah.
Everybody's running in, grabbing their stuff. Okay, so walk us through. You're setting up. You're starting. Everybody's starting hash cooking at their stations. And this is when the first sabotage comes in. Explain to us what that looks like.
You know, you're thinking, hey, you're going to get through this round. Nothing's going to happen. Then all of a sudden says, hey, I got a little something I'd like to tell y'all. He says he's got this sabotage, you know.
Elton Brown.
Yes. And it's two for two people, you know. One of them is this saddle that's got like suspenders on it. You're going to straddle it and wear it. And then the other one is this, it's a pair of chaps or leggings, but they've got these one before slats in them that are, they just come straight out to where you have to stand like in a triangle all the time.
It's
stiff.
It's like an super insanely starched pair of britches that this person has to wear.
Yeah.
So where you're really spread legged the whole time, like walking around. And so they bid, and I think Sierra got it, right?
Yeah.
And so she gave it to Jason, had to wear the saddle.
Yep.
And Robbie had to wear the pants. You get away free.
I got through there.
So everybody's cooking along, and then the next sabotage comes.
Yeah. And who dreams up of this stuff?
I don't know. This the person that's like paid to create these crazy challenges is pretty impressive.
Because there's this little like elevator door small behind Alton up there. And they say, chefs, oh, got another little sabotage for you. This little door opens up and there's a glass of beer just sitting in there, you know?
Everybody's thinking, all right.
Beer for breakfast. Here we go. And then they roll out this long old antique bar like you'd find in a saloon. One contestant is going to have to make their hash as we slide glasses of beer down the bar, and all your ingredients will be in the beer. Like if you was using eggs, they're cracked and in the beer. Potatoes are in the beer. Whatever you got, it's in the beer.
And unfortunately, Sierra gets assigned this one.
Yeah, Robbie and Jason, they sort of thought, you know, she give us these two. This is revenge. And I've been to enough horse sales. I just want to run it up a little. You know, because so if you run out of money.
Your strategy is to run up the bid.
Yes.
For each item, but not necessarily.
I don't want it. Uh-uh.
Here's what's interesting. So now we're in this first round of cooking. Everybody has a sabotage that they're trying to cook through, except you.
I don't have none.
Why did that happen?
Well, I don't know why Sierra gave them two right off the bat, you know, which I was proud they got it. And then I knew when Jason won that one, I knew he was going to give it to because he was out for revenge. So we just get to start cooking hash.
But you're probably the most experienced cook there, especially in the competition world. They didn't, nobody knew your background, apparently.
No.
Because otherwise, I think they would have been sabotaging you, which I think they're going to learn coming up. What's most interesting about this specific cooking competition, if you guys haven't watched it? Yes, there's cooking. But if you've picked up on this, strategy is actually the most important thing about winning Cutthroat Kitchen. So given that, where you're kind of coming from a world where it's all about the food and presentation, how do you change your strategy now?
Well, it goes back to that horse sale mentality. You know, like, I've always been to a lot of auctions, and if I wanted something, I'm going to stay in the bid till I get it. But if I'm thinking, hey, them two guys are bidding against each other, you know, I'm going to run it up and see which one of them going to pay the most. Because $25,000, if you can get to where your money's spent down and you have nothing, if you make it to the last round, you're going to get every sabotage they got because you ain't got no money to spend.
What's the vibe in the kitchen like, and how's it different than your other?
There's stress of what's going on, but not nothing like Chopped or anything like that, because everybody's thinking, I got to cook this, but how can I cook it wearing this saddle wearing these stiff leggings?
You almost can't be serious.
No, it's having a good time.
It felt like watching it. It's a lot more comedic, a lot more lighthearted. Did you enjoy that more than Chopped or Bobby Flay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chopped was stressful because I really didn't know what I was working with. You know, when we get to cook hash, I mean, hash is something I made for a long time, you know. The thing I admired, and he calls these two guys that are always helping with these sabotages, Bobs. Now, why, I don't know. He'll say, okay, Bobs, bring it out, you know.
So these crew members come out.
And they're dressed up little cowboy hats.
And they demonstrate what the sabotage is going to be, right?
And I laughed at them guys, but everybody in there, I mean, you're busy and things are going on, but it's not, I don't think it's one of these deals to where you're just stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little more laid back to me. And after we got going in the first round, I'm thinking, this is just going to be a good time. This is a fun deal.
That's a good change.
Oh, yeah.
You've experienced before. Yeah. So you decide you're going to make a chorizo hash.
Yeah.
Which it looks like great on the plate. Like you're doing your thing. And then here we go. Third sabotage. Yeah. So now we have to assume like they have to go up against you to give you something.
But I'm going to make them bid for it. I mean, they said, come on out. We got a horse, you know, and it's probably one of the worst looking horse costumes I've seen in my life. You know,
two guys are in this horse outfit,
but two Bobs are in there, you know. They start the bidding, and I'm thinking, it ain't one of these deals that's going to be bad, but I'm going to run it up. I'm going to make them spend some more of that money if I'm going to get it.
Okay, now this horse comes out, two guys in a horse outfit. You can imagine how lovely this looks.
Yeah.
The idea is that whoever gets this one, they have to just carry this. You have to leave this horse around all over the kitchen as you're cooking.
Yeah, they've got little hitching rails you tie it up to. You know, and it has to go with you every time you go somewhere and you tie it up, which I didn't know at the time, you know, but somebody comes by and unties it every once in a while.
Oh.
That's why it's just what your
horse. And so then the horse will just be wandering
around, you know.
And so then you have to stop what you're doing.
Go get the horse out and say, you got to have yours, you know. So I get the horse after the bidding process. I did make them spend some more money.
So you just roll it up. You know you're not going to bid it.
No.
But you just want them to waste their money.
Yeah. And
like I said, it's all strategy.
Yes, it is. And I'd be trying to cook the hash and the horse be, because I'd be trying to hang on with it in one hand trying to cook the other thing. Just tie it to one of these hitching posts. Because they had them set up in there. There were hitching rails. So I'd tie it up pretty good knot. And I'd be over there cooking and I'd hear Alton, Kent, your horse is loose. Within so- you...
Are these guys just wandering around?
They wander around everywhere, getting the way, you know. I know they're in Robbie's way a lot, you know, when he was trying to cook. But every time you get really where it was a sort of a clutch moment, like fixing to fry that egg.
Oh, yeah.
And you want that egg over easy, you know. And I hear Alton said, oh, Kent, your horse is loose again. Well, I know I had it tied real good. Then I figured out, people are untying this horse, you know, some of the crew,
course.
And he just wanders off. So it's getting down to where time is pretty close, you know. And he gets loose again. Alton said, Kent, you got to keep that horse tied up. So I'm thinking, now if I was somewhere out in the mountains guiding hunters, or I was in a pasture and I needed to get off my horse and I didn't want him running off, what would I do to him? I'd hobble him. I don't think these people even had a clue what was going on. So
wait, for those who don't know, what is hobbling a horse?
Well, you got the two front feet, you know, of a horse.
Okay.
And you put a loop around one of them, then you twist it to where it's not tight, going to like cut off circulation, and keep twisting it and then tie it around the other one. This way, the legs can't spread apart. Only way you can, a horse learns, they can hop, you know, but they ain't going to run off. They're easy.
And
to
I
catch.
Doubt the Bobs know what hobbling is or how to get out of it.
You know, I told them, I said, this is what we do to a horse in Oklahoma.
Did everybody lose their mind on set?
Yeah. And Alton looked at me. He said, you're pushing our Bobs a little hard here. And I said, horse won't stand still. You hobble him. And I hobbled him right there in the middle. He never moved again.
Great strategy.
Yes.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so then you all finish your hashes.
Yeah.
And then the celebrity judge comes out, and it is country music star Clay Walker.
Yeah.
And again, this is interesting because it's not so food focused. They're just bringing in like regular people to judge the food, which I think is really interesting because where you've gotten super critical, like food scientists and chefs judging you before, now it's just like more regular people and like what tastes good to them.
Yeah.
What does normal food taste like? So I like that kind of approach about Cutthroat Kitchen. Clay loved your hash.
Yeah, he said it was fine dining. It was easy to put together, you know, with the chorizo and the poblanos, the potatoes, a little splash of hot sauce, and then you get them eggs fried up there on top.
You used your adobo or chipotle chilies and adobo sauce, which is your
number one ingredient.
Secret ingredient. Guys, if you ever need to up a dish or if you're in like a competition, especially like with chili, that's our secret ingredient. Yep. So write that down. Unfortunately, Sierra, who had to pull all of the ingredients out of the beer.
That was probably one of the worst ones I'd ever seen.
That's a rough challenge.
Oh, yeah.
So she got cut.
Yeah.
Bye, Sierra. Okay, take us to round two now. And this is great. I love Cutthroat because it moves fast.
Yeah.
Cowboy steak round.
Oh, yes. I'm ready for some of this.
I mean, how easy. And then you get to choose whatever side you want to put it, right?
You really wanted two sides to go with it. So when I'm standing out there and they're telling us all this, I'm thinking, what two sides do I want to make that you'd see at a steakhouse, you know?
And you're just keeping it simple.
Yeah. And so I knew exactly what I was after when I went in there for my 60 seconds. And that is a really good ribeye steak, pretty thick, bone in, you know, baked beans. I do love me some baked beans and I've cooked many of them.
Was there plenty of groceries and meat in the kitchen?
Oh, yeah.
You guys like fighting for it?
No, it wasn't one of them deals to where you're like, hey, I'm going to take the last steak. You know, there was, that pantry was fully stocked. It's just in the 60 seconds go by so fast,
yeah.
You know? So you thinking in your mind as you're going through these glass doors, steak, two kinds of beans. I got to have like a salad, but no, I'm going to grill romaine. So then I need some of this and I need some honey and I need this. And
in any of the rounds, did you miss an ingredient?
When they say steak, I'm thinking, what would you order at steakhouse?
With eye appeal, right?
Yeah. Beans and salad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't have time to make no bread or I'd have made bread.
So you did your baked beans and a grilled romaine.
Yeah.
A nice touch, a nice green touch, Kent, that
yes,
you don't,
ma'am.
You don't normally do. You must have learned something.
Well, I'll tell you this. Alton Brown is a great person, but he is a food scientist. I would hear him during this first round saying, you know, I might have done this or I might have done this.
Yes.
You know, he's got his little comments, but don't doubt that man about food and what he knows and what can change it and what can fix it. That man's sharp.
Before this round even starts, here comes the sabotage. And this one is bizarre. This huge covered wagon looking thing rolls into set.
Yep. And it's got pretty wide seat up there at the front, you know, where you're going to stand. It's got this big shelf on it. I'm thinking, well, that ain't too bad. You just sit up there in the wagon and cook. But they said, now, this wagon is pretty tough. They went across the Oregon Trail. But the Oregon Trail was rough, too, so we think the wagon might have looked like this was. Jumping up and down, moving one way back and forth, and I'm thinking, no way. I've been in a lot of runaway wagons in my life, and no way do I want to sit up there or stand up there and try to cook while all this bouncing's going on.
So then your strategy is, like, you need to win this one.
I'm going to make sure so I don't get it.
Because it's a two-seater.
Yeah.
So
two people.
There's three of you left.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you bid it up, and you want to win it. And so you go 8,500.
Yes, ma'am.
And you win it.
Yeah. I mean, that wagon cost me more than that Studebaker that I own. You know, Studebaker was 6,500, and that wagon cost me 8,500.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was the bid worth it?
Oh, yes. Yes, because as I'm cooking along, I'm looking up there. It's a wonder they don't chop a finger off, you know, or cuts. Because they'd be trying to mix something and it do one and everything's falling the floor.
So it's interesting. So they're sitting up in this wagon, but then they have to turn to the side where they have their, like, cooking station set up.
Propane burners.
And really, yeah, it's like a propane. It's like a little hot plate. So I feel bad. These guys are having to, like, sear these huge ribeye steaks on this little bitty hot plate.
Yeah.
And then also chopping. I remember what you said, like, Jason was chopping, I think, an onion at one point. It looked like a finger was going to go.
Yeah. And it was, and I'd ask them, I'd say, how's it going up there? And that's, it's rough, you know. And stuff would be splashing out of what they were trying to boil something, you know, trying to cut something falling in the floor. I'd see it fall plumb out of the wagon, you know, and I'm thinking, good job, cowboy. You give them the bad deal here.
Well, and I loved it was because, like, Alton would sometimes be like, well, that's not how I would have done it. I'm like, well, you're not in an 1800s wagon cooking off of it.
Yeah. Like, and it wasn't going to be the easiest thing in the world. But it's another time I didn't have a sabotage, I thought.
Well, so you, okay, so you're cooking along. Tell me, how is your steak going?
It is good. You know, I combined two kinds of beans, put some little maple syrup, some honey, some more of them chipotle peppers and adobo sauce because I wanted to give it a little heat, some red pepper flakes. But the steak I seasoned, and then you don't have a real grill in there. It's like a grill plate on a stove, you know. So this steak is pretty thick, 1.25 inches probably. So I season it really well, wrap it in some tin foil, put it over, going to steam it, you know. And Alton said, you know, I would have done this probably the other way around to where I cook my steak and then wrap it in the tin foil and let it set. And I just looked at him and I said, well, I've been backwards all my life, but this is the best way to do it, you know.
I don't think Alton knew how to take you.
and the romaine was going to be easy. You know, I was just going to grill it, get me a little char, make a little dressing that went on it, and beans was done.
And that's the thing, too, is because there are so many other elements going on than cooking, you have to keep your food simple.
Yeah.
You don't want to get too involved.
Because you still just got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot can go on in 30 minutes. And we know that something else is coming. I mean, you ain't going to get through a round and think, oh, there was just one sabotage.
Well, oh, yeah. No, there are multiple sabotages per round. So the next one to bid comes up, and it is a mannequin cowboy.
Yeah.
Who's wearing, and he's stiff, and he's wearing a set of spurs. So you have to hold this mannequin, and any of your prep work or cutting, you have to cut with his spurs.
And you can't take the spurs off.
No. And guess who gets that one?
Well, I knew it was coming because them two guys up there in the wagon were going to make sure I got something out of this, you know. But I get to looking around. I don't have to cut this steak with a knife. You know, I ain't cutting no beans. All I got to do is try to cut this romaine and try to cut through some onion and try to cut through some jalapeno.
So, of course,
it's pretty easy.
So, of course, did you bid on this one again and try
just a little
to raise it up?
Yeah.
And so, of course, the guys in the wagon who are flailing all around, they're giving it to you.
Yeah.
And so really, it's not a big deal.
No, not as bad as it, you know, if you'd had a lot of stuff, you was trying to slice bacon and meat and everything else, it would have been pretty tough. But
as all this is going on, Is there anything behind the scenes that we don't see as a viewer that you'd kind of find kind of shocking? Or is everything laid out pretty much like you see on camera?
It's pretty well laid out. I mean, the only thing that people didn't see was back in the first round when people was turning the horse loose all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody's, I mean, you can even see like over there from the production crew, they're having to do this to keep from laughing at them guys in the wagon, you know.
I don't understand. Like, so you mentioned these bobs who show you all the sabotages and they act it out and they're acting all goofy. They're pretty straight faced. Oh, and I don't know how they do it.
They keep it together. And they're good people. I got to visit with them. They are good as gold. But I have to carry this stiffy with me or stand him up or do something to where he's at my station at all times. And if I cut something, it has to be with the roll of them spurs. But you can't take spurs off, so you got to sort of hold him up. His legs don't bend, you know, so you just, he's like a dead guy. I told Alton Brown, I said, I think this guy used to work at a funeral home, you know. You stab him, we'll slab him. He was there. But the Romaine, it was like a saw in a way. When you just sort of roll that spur back and forth across it with that rowel to where, and it wasn't sharp rowel.
Of course not.
Know? But finally get it cut in half. And what I wanted was try to keep the cord on there so the Romaine don't fall apart.
Are you at all concerned about the boys in the wagon?
I'm just hoping they don't lose a finger.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe fall out of the wagon.
Can you imagine the safety guy on this set? Like, he's got to have the most stressful job ever.
Yeah, they probably got 14 medics on staff, you know. So,
and surprisingly, you have not cut yourself.
You know, and it happens a lot in competitions to me.
It happens a lot in the kitchen at home. And especially, like, if we're shooting a YouTube video, I'm like, please don't cut yourself. It's tough. Okay, so then you guys finish up your steaks. Are you looking at anybody else's steak? Like, are you feeling confident in this round?
Well, I know them guys up there on their little propane hot plates are going to have a hard time getting a good sear on that steak. They can probably get really good flavor, but you want that good sear on the outside of that crust. I remember Robbie was doing a deal where he was sautéing with a lot of butter and stuff, but he had a lot of herbs too that he had boiled in some water to try to get that flavor. So I knew he was going to bring a lot of flavor, but the sear is what was getting to me a little. I didn't know how they were going to get that done because I left mine on that hot plate on that stove, that grill plate, for quite some time just to try to get a good sear on it.
So out comes Clay Walker again.
Yep.
And he tries your steak, loves it, loves the flavor. I think loved the beans, and he said he's not a big fan.
That's when I thought really something's wrong here. He said, you know, I'm not a fan of baked beans.
I'm like, you're from Texas, buddy.
And he looked at me, he said, but I think you've changed my mind.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he liked the romaine. So
like, I thought you had a really balanced plate.
Well, you know, I've learned a lot from you through the years and about what you can put on your plate. It ain't just meat and beans.
Right. You know,
put a little green for color in there.
You do a little sauce action.
Yes, I had some sauce.
Yeah, like I was impressed. And so as he's going down the line, you feeling confident?
Well, I feel pretty good. There's three people here. One's going home. I'm just hoping that I'm one of the two that's staying there.
And unfortunately, he cuts Chef Jason.
Yep.
I think, I don't remember what the reasoning was, but
his steak was a little undercooked.
Okay.
And, he had a lot of stuff he was using for sides. Like he was caramelizing some onions. He didn't have many of them left. Remember, cause the wagon bounced them out.
Oh, so his proportions weren't correct. Okay. So now you are going into the final dessert round.
Oh my gosh.
How are you feeling at this point?
Pretty good. I mean, I like dessert, you know, and I'm liking simplicity. I hope they say something easy, you know.
I want to ask, like, do you feel like you're in your groove with how this episode works? But I kind of feel like you were almost in your groove from the beginning.
Well, it was better, you know, because they were actually saying, hey, you're going to cook hash. I know how to cook hash. You're going to cook a steak. I know how to cook a steak. Dessert, I figured this is where we're going to get goofy. I really did.
Well, and you know how to horse trade. You know how to run a deal.
And at the time, I mean, you get $25,000.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning.
At the beginning. And I doing the math in my head from the horse sales I've been up, thinking, I got like $16,500 left.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to win this to take it home because me and you could sure use the money.
You almost get to the situation like, do you want the money or do you want
to win?
To win. And there's a really hard balance there. As you had mentioned, it's the last two, you and Robbie.
Yep.
And Robbie's a good chef.
Oh, he can cook. He can cook.
And you've got $16,500. So you're looking good. And the cornbread or the dessert round is a cornbread dessert.
Who makes dessert out of cornbread?
Well, I mean, it's not that wild.
I know, right? But you know, it's not one of them just going to a restaurant. Oh, I'll have the cornbread dessert.
No. But you sound, I mean, what you make sounds great. It's a cornbread strawberry shortcake with like this whipped cream sauce and apricots. And I'm thinking.
And a little strawberry preserves.
Strawberry, I mean, like, okay. This is bringing it. This is pretty good. So what's the first sabotage? Because that's what really matters.
Well, we was just fixing to get started and I got everything I need. And Alton says, oh, hang on a minute, chefs. I think that one of you, you know, during the Old West, there was a lot of people that went back and forth through the saloon doors. So I think one of y'all really needs to prepare your dessert meal standing on this little stool with a tray that's hooked on beside the swinging doors on the other side. So you're making everything as the doors swing back and forth.
So you're prepping your stuff on swinging saloon doors.
Yes.
Do you think that was worse or was the bucking chuck wagon worse?
I think the chuck wagon would have probably been worse, but still, I didn't want to take the chance.
So these bobs just keep walking through these doors, like just like
constantly.
Constantly. So, and of course, you're thinking, you got to get this?
Robbie needs it.
Okay.
You know, and so I'm thinking 16.5, I'll go to $8,000 if I have to, you know, because the dessert round, I felt real good with my hash. I felt real good with my steak.
So you got to bring it home.
So I got to bring it with dessert, you know. So I run the bid up.
And you got it for $10,500.
Yeah, I spent more money than I wanted to.
That's a lot. Yeah. But again, it's strategy.
Yeah.
At this point, though, were you thinking like, did you want to win more or did you want the money or what?
I would like to have had the title of, hey, you won Cutthroat Kitchen. You know, and you know us, me and you, we've always had this discussion too. It's never been just about money in life. Yeah. It's always about do what you do, love what you do, and try to make people happy with what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I decided when I missed my 8,500 mark.
You're just like, I'm going to go big.
If I have spend it all, I'd like to be the winner.
Okay. All right, so you start your cornbread deal. And so is it like a pancake or what's
happening? Well, I sort of wanted to make like cornbread fritters. You know, you fry them and then you could stack them like little cakes.
Okay.
You know, and then put layers in between them. And I had all my cornbread batter mixed up, was fixing to get ready to go to frying it. Guess what happened?
Here come the bobs.
Here come another sabotage. And Alton said, you know, one of the things people like to do in the Old West was play horseshoes. You know, we would like to take the ingredients away from one of you. And the only way you can get them back is to throw horseshoes. And if you get it close enough to the pin, each time you get an ingredient back. And I thought in my mind, how many times have I played horseshoes?
Okay, here's a funny little side note that I didn't even know. When Kent came back and was telling me this story, he's like, the next round was horseshoes. You were like the 1990 state championship horseshoe winner or something crazy.
Yeah,
right?
we had family reunions all the time, and horseshoe throwing in our family was big. I mean, my dad was a farrier. Randy put shoes on horses. I'd put shoes on horses. And we all knew how to throw horseshoes.
So Robbie, of course, is bidding this because he can't have a double sabotage.
He couldn't have done this.
No. And he's thinking, oh, this is, I'm going to really get Ken on this one. And so you finally, like you start, you abandon your strategy of trying to raise the bid. You're just like, it's fine. I'll take it. which should have been our first clue, like, oh, this is maybe not a good strategy for Robbie. So your ingredients get taken away. Alton's down at
the court. Well, there was two. You could even quit and give up before you ever threw and get this basket that was an alternative.
Like surprise ingredients?
Yeah, but it had like beef jerky in there.
Oh, yeah, you know.
It had cookies. And I'm thinking, you can't make cornbread dessert with none of that stuff.
So Alton's down in the little sand pit, like, okay, Kent, let's go. Guys, this didn't even take like 30 seconds. I don't think he's like, dink. And Alton's like, what do you want? Cornbread. Dink. Give me some cream. Dink. Give me some flour. And Alton can't even move fast enough to get you all your ingredients. I mean, you're just like, and then you cut to Robbie. Robbie's like, what am I going to do? Does this guy, is he a professional horseshoe thrower?
But you know, it took up time that I needed.
Right.
That was one of the things. I mean, I had faith in I could get my ingredients back, the original ones that I had, but how much time was it going to lose in them? Because you had like 8 or 9 horseshoes, and I'm thinking, you got to make every one of them count. Because we don't need to be spending 3 or 4 minutes over here doing this. We need to get the ingredients and get back to work.
Were you stressed at all after this point?
Like a little, because I'm thinking, do I have time to get all this done? Because at one time I'd thought about just baking little cornbread rounds,
yep,
like little muffins, you know. But when I got through with that and I'm looking at the clock and you have like 12, 13 minutes, ain't no way you can bake cornbread that quick.
You guys finish your plate and yours looks great. You have this like layered fritters with whipped cream, and you did a little dollop. You even did like that little like spoon and slide method on
yes,
the plate.
I've
like,
seen that on TV somewhere.
For presentation. And I'm thinking, well, Kent, you really stepped it up. Ironically, when Clay is judging this, he says, this kind of looks a little too fancy for me. And I like lost my mind, because every time in competition, you're always criticized for not making it look nice enough.
Yeah.
And here you are. He's like, you should have put it in like cast iron, or this bowl is too nice. Or I thought that was wild.
I thought I was fixing to go home.
Just because your plating was too good.
Yeah.
And then Robbie made this nice like cast iron skillet cobbler thing, I think.
Yeah, I really admired what he'd done too. He made like a marshmallow mascarpone top sort of put on it, you know. And but
his was undercooked.
Yeah. He had spent so much time up there with the saloon doors that he didn't have a lot of time to finish. I think it was a little raw in the middle.
So then it's the big reveal, and you are the cutthroat kitchen leader.
Nearly took all my money too.
What'd you have left? You
$6,500, I think.
$6,500. Yeah, that's not bad.
No, I mean, it's a day's work, you know.
You know what's crazy is that this was the most calm and focused I have seen you in a cooking competition.
Yeah, it was, the stress factor was really, I mean, you get a little stressed when you knew time was getting short and you didn't know what maybe this next sabotage was, but it's not really so much the fear of unknown groceries. That was the worst of it, and like in Chopped, you know, because half the stuff they had me cooking with, I'd never seen before in my life.
I think maybe that's a good lesson in Cutthroat Kitchen, is like not to take food or life too seriously.
No.
Because I think a lot of people, especially as we're saying within the chef world, it gets very intense. And it's like, guys, it's food. Like it's meant to make people feel good and bring people together.
That's right.
And highlight your talent if you like to cook. And so let's not get bogged down with all of the intensity of things. And with Cutthroat, I think that was a really fun way to bring food and competition together, but not make it serious.
And they told me right there at the end, all right, if you win, you have to do a little dance, you know.
At the very end?
Yeah. And Melissa, the producer, said, what music would you like?
Because we don't hear this on camera.
Ha, no. And I said, Wagon Wheel Song.
Oh.
And, so we got through, and you couldn't see it either. They had this giant tumbleweed.
Oh, they did?
That they had, I mean, it's real, and had a fan on where it blowed across her while I was dancing. Uh-huh. And then one time they had me do it over, and I had to do like, I was dancing with Bob. I mean, the stiff guy, the mannequin.
They had you doing one version of that?
I'm glad they didn't show that. He's not a good dance person.
But they do have you like doing your little
dance
move around, and then you shimmy out.
Yep.
And how'd it feel?
It was good. You know, I it's one of the deals that come so close and chopped twice, you know, and didn't get that done. But this was more of a good time feel, you know, like I enjoyed this. I mean, sure, I enjoyed chopping them after it was over, but it's very stressful. This was one of them deals where I think, you know, I'd do this again. It was interesting.
I think at that point you deserved it because you'd been through a lot of really hard, dramatic cooking deals. And at the time, it was really critical for us because we were in a spot where we needed these things to work to enhance our business because at the time we were mostly just, it was all just wagon cooking for ranches and doing catering. And that was really tough. And so we were looking at ways that we could expand the business or different avenues. And so there was a lot riding on those earlier competitions. This one, it was just for fun.
It was a good time. It really was. I mean, did we put the money to good use? Yeah. But it was never about the money. It was to still show them again, a cowboy can overcome, you know, he can persevere. Whatever you throw at him, let's just try to cook it. Let's keep it simple. Let's have a good time. But at the end of the day, too, it was about being cordial, being nice in a competition, making new friends. And I made a lot because that crew was totally different than any of the crew I'd ever seen on Chopped, you know. And to meet the other contestants was good. And it was a good leisurely trip.
And I think one lesson we can take away from Clay Walker is you can't get full and fancy.
It's true. Well, Shan, we've been through Cutthroat Kitchen. The thing that I really glad that I accomplished more than anything else is I didn't cut myself and bleed anywhere.
That was huge. Yeah. Yes. Congrats on that.
Could have been rough. And I tip my hat to Alton Brown.
Yeah.
He good people.
Good feller.
You know, I'd like to get him at the wagon. You know, and
I think he would love that. Oh, I think he would really appreciate it.
So if some of y'all watching got Alton's phone number, just call and tell him come on down to Wagon and we'll have a visit, get to cooking. But remember, whatever competitions you're going through in life, sure, you want to strive to be the best and try to win every time. But sometimes you don't win. I've been there. But you can't lose faith. You can't lose hope. You got to keep stepping out there. You got to keep trying because giving up is not an option. And, never will be.
And remember to have fun along the way.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a good time. And we had a good time today. Hope y'all did.
But now we have our new segment called One More Cup, where Kent and I share what has been our obsession or what we've been rabbit holing this week. So, Kent, what is your One More Cup?
Or what's been on your mind that's giving you trouble.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Automated calling.
Oh, no. What have you been doing?
You know, insurance people, you know, okay, call on the phone. Thank you for English Press 1, English Press 3.
They, you know what? They need like a, for Oklahoman Press 4, because that's probably where some of the hang-ups is too.
And then they say, okay, we're going to have to transfer you. Mm-hmm. They don't transfer you. They hang up on you. I think they're getting paid by how many calls do they get in a day.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going on and on. And I finally got to what I needed with, I mean, not only was it through insurance, but through a medical deal to where they're going to mail your pharmacy prescription to you.
Yeah.
And I got this sweetest lady ever, Linda. And she made me forget about the three times I'd been hung up on.
Oh, well, that is a good one.
You know, and it was such a blessing. But, you know, there's a lot of, you see it everywhere. Help wanted. Got to need a job. Let's get real people on the phone. Quit having automated.
Oh.
Because I want to talk to people. Don't you?
It's kind of like in that whole AI situation that we're kind of in.
Yeah.
Like when is AI or automation helpful? And when do we just need to talk to somebody real?
Let's just get back to real people. Keep it simple. Okay.
Okay.
And if you call me, you'll hear me say howdy or hello or one of these deals. I won't tell you to press one. I promise. We enjoyed this. Hope y'all did. Don't forget to leave us a rating, whether you're watching here on our YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. We would appreciate it. And remember, you're not fans. You're family to us. But as always, and with great pride and privilege and honor, I tip my hat to all the servicemen and women and all the veterans that have kept that old flag a-flying, no matter where we are. We commend you all and we'll lift you up in prayer daily. Shan, thank you so much, my beautiful, sweet thing. God bless you, each and every one. Major had a good nap, and I'll see you down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.